Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hello and welcome once again to History Dweebs. I am Tim and welcome to our podcast. Today's podcast is on serial killer Robert Ben Rhodes, better known as the Torture Chamber Trucker. Also nicknamed Old Whips and Chains. So we'll get into some of his dastardly deeds. Before we do, let me introduce our panel. We are joined again this time. We're joined again this time by young Nicole. Hi, Nicole.
Hi.
How are you today?
Great.
Thanks. Thank you for sitting in again.
Nicole, not that young.
Wow.
She is.
I mean, she's younger than me. She's younger than you, but that don't make you young.
Okay. You're insulting people already, Colonel.
No, I'm just saying, Shane, it ain't like we got some, 22-year-old woman sitting.
Save your insults for our next panelist, who we're happy to have back. She was out last week, of course, worshiping Satan.
Was she gone? I didn't even notice, and I bet our listeners didn't either.
She now has multicolor hair again. What shade would you call that, Colonel?
I call that Crayola cranberry.
It's apple. Called piss off pink. That's what it is.
I don't know. It looks like a Crayola.
Yeah.
It's a watercolor of some sort.
And of course, we're referring to the very talented and lovely Brandy. How are you today, Brandy? Did you miss us last week?
I'm fine.
Did you miss us?
No. Actually, not at all.
Okay. I don't even want to know where you were because I know it was probably something to do with sex. So,
and drugs.
And drugs. It was mainly rock and roll.
Rock and roll?
Yeah.
You was in a hotel room with Ted Nugent.
No.
Go Kiss. The whole band.
I was a roadie for ELO.
No, you were working really hard, and we appreciate your hard work, whatever you were doing. Of course, as always, we're joined by the very lovely and very who seems to be losing weight, Colonel.
Well, thank you, Timmy.
Way to backpedal.
The very talented and debonair, the baddest man in podcasting, or I forget what I'm supposed to say.
The most dangerous man
in podcasting. The very talented Colonel Charles Beauregard Hawk Waters III, affectionately known as the Southern Gentleman. How are you today, Colonel?
I could not be better, Timmy. It's raining. You let me use your coat. That was nice of you, Timmy.
Well, I did not want you to catch a chill.
I gotta clear something up real quick, Timmy.
Okay.
I made a little offhand comment about Storm last week.
Storm, who is
Knut's dog. Yeah,
in Norway.
Yeah, and
one of our listeners.
I went home and I told Rudy. I was like, "Hey, Rudy, you know, Rudy is my dog," and I was like, I got Storm a little bit mad at me, and normally Rudy just say, tell Storm go whatever. And so I pull up Knut on the internet and show Rudy pictures of Storm, and Rudy say, Dad, there ain't no harm in apologizing to somebody, because I believe the Storm actually did.
He did take out
look
a bear.
He
took a bear out, and then
you
back
said it was maybe an angry squirrel.
Yeah, now you're back to a bear.
I believe it could have been. He could take polar bears. If polar bears wandered down to Norway, Storm would
Yes.
Would take care of me.
So you're apologizing to Storm.
And he's just such a beautiful dog.
Yeah.
Just a beautiful, beautiful. But Storm, don't come looking for me. Because Rudy said, Dad, I'm not sure that's a dog. I think it might be a werewolf.
Yeah. So Rudy's so. Like, he will protect you from anything, but at some
but
point.
But Storm, yeah.
He's like, you're on your own. Okay, Colonel, we've got some quick shout-outs.
We do. Let's see. Of course, we got always Lady Beverly.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, and I know Lady Beverly married, but eventually, probably what's going to happen is the Colonel will fly over to England, woo Miss Lady Beverly.
This is never happening.
No. Well, I don't think you have a shot in hell.
Yeah, she got a very beautiful family. I've seen her. Her and her husband and her daughter. Noah Oberding, one of Pooja's friends, my son Logan.
Logan's friends. Just here. Thank you for listening, Noah.
Yeah, somebody asked about Johnny Footstool.
Allie
asked about Johnny Footstool, and Johnny Footstool left us a negative review.
Early on, I think in the Val Guinness episode.
And then has never been heard from again. I do not believe that's a coincidence.
But you're
you
can
draw your own conclusions.
Yeah, but you're not going to make any further statements on Johnny Footstool.
No further statement on Johnny. And Celine, of course.
Yeah.
Celine, we're going to be doing one of your episodes next. And
I think next week.
And Devil, do I have to say a name?
Sure.
Dottie Scott.
God love her.
Dottie Scott, God sweetest woman walking around the earth today. And why? You know what I don't get, Timmy?
Is this going to end up? Are you going to end up insulting me because you've already insulted Nicole?
I just don't
Nicole
know why you're so damn mean. I mean, your mom is the sweetest woman I ever met.
So, what is your point?
Top of his head.
You just kind of an ass, and she's sweet. I don't know. She had no influence on you.
Yeah, no, she really didn't. Okay, we
do have a new sponsor.
Wait a minute,
today.
We got another shout out for Brandy. Okay. Brandy.
Kathy.
Or Kay.
Yeah, my producer kind of screwed that up, but she listens to the podcast with her 10-year-old daughter, who likes the Colonel for some ungodly reason, but we want to give a shout-out to those two.
And she likes you.
She does like me.
That's surprising.
Yeah, that's surprising.
I'm likable.
Everyone likes the Colonel.
I'm likable.
No one likes us, but apparently someone likes you now.
You know what?
Because and no one likes me.
Because we do all the work.
Because you act like a jackass all the time.
Okay, sponsor real quick, because we're going to get to this.
Okay, store. You need to paint the side of your house. You need to fix your roof. You need to fix your gutters. You need to get whatever. You want to get up on a ladder? No, you don't want to get up on a ladder. It's not safe at all.
No, it's not safe. It's dangerous. And if you're Brittany, you try to hoist things.
Oh, my gosh. What is that?
For crying out loud.
For our listeners, Brittany, young Brittany, we're on a group text, and she was trying to get something in her apartment. What is it, blinds or something?
Just a valance.
Curtains, yeah.
It was 12 foot long, but only weighed a pound.
But she couldn't get up the stairs.
She lives on the 18th floor.
So she was going to hoist it up.
With a fishing pole.
That was just been so funny to see.
Yeah.
All right. But go ahead. I'm sorry to interrupt you and our new sponsor.
So you don't want to get a ladder. You don't want to get, what do you want to get, Timmy? You want to get scaffolding.
Yeah, scaffolding.
And if you go to get scaffolding, who do you want to get it from, Timmy?
You tell me.
You want to get it from Mammoth Erections.
Mammoth Erections.
Mammoth Erections.
They
have scaffolding.
They have scaffolding. They have the finest scaffolding, the sturdiest scaffolding.
And they're able to rise to the occasion.
That's exactly right. That's our motto. Okay. We rise to any occasion.
Wonderful.
So
thank
Mammoth
you.
Erections, folks.
Yeah, thank you for that, Colonel. Okay, and a shout out to Casey, who will be joining us soon.
Yes, after Thanksgiving.
And hopefully I get a text from Casey here soon.
Not ever, but I did my part.
Okay, so let's get on. Let's talk about Robert Benrose, shall we? He was known as Old Whips and Chains. He was a truck driver, and he was also a serial killer. Surprise! He was a serial killer and rapist from 1989 to 1990. He did a lot of damage in a short period of time. He's believed to have tortured, raped, and killed more than 50 women. Although he was only found guilty and charged with 3 deaths, but we're going to get in that. He was a sadist, much like Brandy. Mm-hmm. He kidnapped women, tortured and raped them, and he would keep them for weeks before actually killing them. So, he was a little clingy. He was a little clingy.
He was, That's the scary thing about the man. That's what I was saying. You kill some, you know, you grab somebody, you rape them, stab them, whatnot. I mean, that's what your normal serial. But when you're held hostage for a week and just tortured for a long time,
yeah,
it's just living hell.
Yeah, living hell. And he had a torture chamber set up. Set up in his truck, so he was going from state to state.
He was a resourceful man.
Yeah, that's one thing you can say about him.
Yeah,
he tended to prey on prostitutes, transient women, missionaries, young women with boyfriends, and hitchhikers. He's best known for taking a photo of his last known victim, Regina K. Walters, and I don't know if she's in relation to you, Colonel, but. He took a picture of her minutes before he killed her in an abandoned farm, or abandoned barn in Illinois. And, we joke a lot about these stories, but, you see it online. It's really creepy knowing that she was.
I've seen it. It's weird.
Yeah. She was young, too. But we'll get into all that. Let's first talk about old Whitman Chains, Robert Ben Rhodes. He was born.
Three names.
Yeah, three names again.
Oh, he's got three names.
It's a pattern. If you have three names, you're bound to be some kind of psycho. He was born on November 22nd, 1945, in Council Bluffs, Iowa. What else happened on November 22nd?
John F. Kennedy got assassinated.
Yeah, but that was like 18 years later. His birthday, Robert Ben Rhodes' birthday, is coming up in a few days.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
Should release balloons.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm not sure about that. But he was the second of four children born to his parents. In his early years, he was raised by his mother alone. His dad was in the military. And although his father did return from overseas when Robert was still young, Robert didn't really have a lot of problems in school. He played football. He wrestled. You guys are not going to pick on me. We got to get through this podcast. And he was in the Boys Glee Club, which I know that Colonel was a part of, and the choir, mm-hmm. as well as the French Club. And I know you were...
The Trench Club?
The French Club.
Oh, the French. Now, I'm in a choir church, Timmy.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, I'm in a choir church.
What church?
A little Amazing Grace for us, Colonel?
Huh?
Can you do a little Amazing Grace?
You know what? Now, I like to stay humble.
You're okay. Godless. Let's be honest. You're godless.
Yeah. There's a no Mormon. Church. You're calling me godless.
I said
it. Okay. So anyway, Rhodes was he was a wrestling, football playing, glee club singing French guy in high school.
There you go.
He was well rounded.
He was.
Was he in the BSDM club?
I don't know if he was a BDSM at that point or not, but he gets into it later. His high school years were notable only for an arrest at age 16 for tampering with a vehicle. And you can't begrudge a person one arrest, can you, Colonel?
Well, I mean, in tampering with a vehicle, what does that mean? You know what I mean? What does that mean? Because a person could have had a flat tire. You're just trying to fix it.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Just trying to inspect it.
I don't have any more details on it. I just know he got in trouble when he was 16 for messing with a car. And in 1964, he was arrested. He was at 19 years old. He was arrested for fighting. So he had, typical teenage stuff.
He was a wrestler and, just going out scrapping and wrestling a little bit.
He was also in the glee club. So
yeah, and singing.
Yeah.
He probably got drunk, sang a little hymn.
He would probably dance. Fight. He was probably fighting.
Go fight. Get down tonight.
He was probably fighting and broke out a song or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so... after graduating in 1964, he immediately joined the Marine Corps, so he went into the service. That same year, his father, who was just recently released from the military, was arrested for molesting a 12-year-old girl, and he subsequently committed suicide. So that's somewhat a traumatic experience for the young man. Although his father only lived with the family a short time, he seemed to have a profound impact on Robert. Rhodes was likely to have witnessed the violence of his father on his mother and maybe even a victim of violence himself. There is even some speculation that Rhodes was a victim of sexual abuse by his father, although he refused to share the details of his father's abuse, even if it meant sparing him from the death penalty later on. So he didn't want to talk about it, apparently. So that kind of suggested the abuse was pretty traumatic for young Mr. Rhodes, young Mr. Whip and Chains. So in 1967, he was arrested again for theft. And this is why he was in the service, and he was dishonorably discharged from the military. After his dismissal, Rhodes married three times, having a son with his first wife, and then he took up truck driving. He was arrested for, as I said, for robbery from the and discharged from the Marines. He received a dishonorable discharge. He attended college for a short time, but dropped out. He applied for numerous times. He applied for jobs as a police officer, but was never hired. That's probably a good thing. And his first marriage did not last very long. It ended after a short period of time. He was married two more times. The last time he was married to a woman named Debbie, and that lasted until 1990. And according to Rhodes, that's when he started getting into a kinky sex life. It was Debbie. That damn Debbie did it.
You know.
Debbie always does.
Well, according to Rhodes, you know, they got straight.
And now think about it, Timmy. I mean, most of this you can attribute to women because, I mean, I know you are into some...
Be careful there,
peculiar
Colonel.
Things. And,
I wouldn't call them peculiar.
Well, most people call them peculiar. And it was really women that led you down that path because you wouldn't have been able to go down that path on your own.
Well, yeah, I was, you know, I've been led astray by women before, sure.
Yeah.
Who hasn't?
We all have, and that's where the kinky strange, well, the devil, I don't even want to think about what you got going on.
Yeah, I mean, she has.
Jesus, Lord. Yeah.
She has she has an account with the Hustler.
Mm-hmm. She got an account with Dungeon.com.
She has reward cards.
She a gold platinum member at Dungeon.com.
Yeah, Dungeon.com.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Anyway, how's that working out for you, Brandy?
Don't you worry about it.
Debbie, as I said, was Rhodes' third wife, and they stayed married several years. As I said, that's when he started to get into the more kinkier sex. But Debbie says that it wasn't her that caused this, that he had this inclination before she met him. And she felt awful about what was going on. He had physically, you know, he was into pain and, you know, it's just very sadistic stuff. So he was really into the BDSM scene. They were living in Houston at the time. And Rhodes worked in stores, supermarkets, warehouses, restaurants. Until I said as he began to drive a truck, doing long hauls. Yeah.
He found a vocation.
He did find a vocation. But as I said, he was a sadist, sexual sadist, and he was involved heavily in the BDS and swinger scene that you're, I know, familiar with there, Brandy, in his hometown of Houston. There's not a whole lot known about his activities in the 1970s and 1980s. It's kind of murky, kind of what he was up to. But he, when he started to work as a long-haul trucker, he seemed to be somewhat of a loner, and that's when he went down this very jaded path that Brandy's going to talk to us about.
Well, he became notorious for the truck that he drove. He took the sleeper cab and converted it into a torture chamber. He's believed to have first killed in November of 1989, although he's only accused of the one unnamed though he was only accused by one unnamed victim of kidnapping and torture. Even then, when Rhodes was detained, the victim denied that he was the perpetrator. It was later asserted that she was fearful of Rhodes after enduring two weeks in his torture chamber. So yeah, she had Stockholm Syndrome.
So he has this built-in torture chamber in his truck, and he's keeping her there tied up for like 2 weeks.
Yeah, well, she didn't have Stockholm Syndrome. She wasn't on his side. Yeah, she didn't want to deal with him anymore.
I would imagine you just want to get as far away as you can.
Yeah.
She might have been hungry.
We don't know that.
She might have been hungry?
She just might have wanted to get a hamburger or something. Get out of there, get a hamburger, get a meal.
Your words are coming out and they're stupid, so I'm going to ignore them. His first confirmed victims were Candace Walsh and her husband, Douglas Zygowski, in January of 1990. The couple were hitchhiking, which it was really too late in the century to be hitchhiking.
Well, it really was. You know, I guess people did that a lot in 50 years ago.
Yeah.
My dad said they would have a bet. Who could get further in a weekend? You know, who could get the farthest, and they'd bring back a newspaper or something from wherever they went. But
you didn't hitchhike?
No, I never did hitchhike.
When I was in high school, we hitchhiked. Nicole, you do any hitchhiking?
No.
Oh, yeah.
No.
See, I guess you're the only one, girl.
I used to get rides all the time.
You ever get burgered?
Huh?
You ever get burgered?
Luckily not. I've been roofied once or twice.
There you go. So Rhodes picked him up in his truck while he was on a long haul. He immediately killed the man, Zykowski, and dumped his body in Texas, where it was later found by some hunters. The body, however, was not identified until 1992.
That's a long time.
Well, he kept Candace Walsh prisoner for over a week. During that time, he tortured and raped her multiple times before shooting her and dumping her body in Millard County, Utah. So he really was on a haul. Even after the body was found, Walsh went unidentified for 13 years while her remains were kept in the basement of the Millard County Sheriff's Office.
So they found a body. They didn't know.
They didn't know what to do with it. Yeah.
So I mean, he's driving around, making his hauls with his woman.
Yeah.
These women tied up in his torture chamber in his truck.
Well, you know, it's nice to have fun when you work.
And, you know, truck driving's a lonely job.
Apparently
he's not lonely.
When you got a woman chained to the back, it just passes. It helps pass the time better.
Helps pass the time.
Yeah.
I wonder if they talked about their hopes and dreams.
I don't know.
I wonder if they played the license plate game.
They probably did play the license plate game.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. By some chance circumstances, Millard County Sheriff's detectives were finally able to identify her in 2003. So she was, yeah.
Yeah, she was missing for a long time.
Yes, she was. A month after Walsh's death, 14-year-old Regina K. Walters and her boyfriend, Ricky Lee Jones, probably another serial killer.
Wasn't she? Didn't Ricky do Chucky's in Love?
Yeah. Different Ricky Lee Jones.
Oh.
This is a guy.
That? They were runaway teenagers from Texas, so I'm sure they were in love.
Okay. I was just wondering.
Two young lovers.
Yeah. With nothing better to do.
Right.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Billy Mack took off after him. So they're from Texas, and they disappeared. So like Sikowski, or how are the guys named? It's believed that after being picked up by Rhodes, Jones killed and disposed of him and then kept the girl.
See, because if you got a wang, sometimes it's not valuable.
Well.
If you're picked up by a serial killer, it's a dude. And he's straight.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
The wang is not very valuable in those situations. In most situations,
your
wang is valuable.
Your wang is probably the last thing you're thinking of if you get picked up by a serial killer.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Photos seized during the search of Rhodes' home when he was later arrested confirmed that he held Regina Walters for a long time based on the degree of her hair growth and her bruising.
And
he kept her for at least 2 weeks.
Yeah. And she was, would you say she was like 14?
Yeah. She was bound and gagged, let's see, with a horse bit before he repeatedly raped and tortured her. He shaved her head and pubic hair.
He would do that a lot. That was his M.O. He would shave the women's hair and their pubic regions.
He pierced her...
labia.
Pierced her lady bits with fishing hooks, dressed her up in a black dress and heels, and photographed her in moments of terror.
Yeah, that's the photograph that you can find on the internet. It's
awful.
It's awful to look at, it really is, because you can see the terror in her eyes.
Then he killed her with is it garrote?
Yeah. Garrote. Garrote.
Garrote, whatever.
It's where you take a while, you get behind somebody.
No, I know what it is, I just can't say it.
Okay.
You know way too much about this stuff, Craig.
Yeah. He made...
Well, we do a serial.
Well, it was a homemade one. It was homemade. It was made of baling wire.
Well, it's all homemade. You can't just go down to the Home Depot and buy a strangling tool.
You can get it at Hustler.
How would you know that?
How about them apples? I know lots of things.
Do you own a ball gag?
He then left her 100-pound body to decompose in a barn in Illinois off Interstate 70. I may or may not own a ball gag, the existence of which I cannot confirm. Rhodes always shaved the pubic hairs of his victim. Is there something you want to share with the class over here?
Just keep going, devil.
Rhodes always shaved the pubic hairs of his victims, and he would cut the hairs on their heads extremely short. The body of Ricky Lee Jones was found March 3rd, 1991, in Lamar County, Mississippi. He wasn't identified until 2008.
So, I mean, he's dropping bodies all over the place.
Oh, yeah, well, you know. In the early morning of April 1st, 1990, Arizona State Trooper Mike Miller found a truck at the side of the I-10 with its hazards on. When he investigated inside the cab, he discovered a nude woman handcuffed and screaming.
Yeah, he just kind of happened on this.
Yeah. There was also a male present that identified himself as the driver
of
the truck.
And that's disturbing, to find a woman handcuffed and screaming.
You know what I love about this guy, though? Like, he's still there. Like, when me. I don't know.
He tries to talk himself out of it.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
But, well, and I mean, we've seen pictures of this guy.
Yeah, he's not the most handsome person in the world.
Well, we'll put a picture of him up when we put the podcast, but we've done some serial killers that are ugly. Yeah. This ugly as some bitch you've ever seen.
After failing to talk his way out of the situation, which I don't know how you do that, but okay.
I think the colonel gets into it.
Hey, Jeffrey Dahmer did it.
Yeah, he did. He said it was a lover's spat.
Just a little lover's spat.
Lover's spat.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure this chick back here who's beaten and whatever.
He would have had
silver tongued for all that.
Yeah.
And this cop would have been real stupid.
Yeah, the cop would have been negligent had he let them go.
After further investigation...
You okay in there?
Yeah. Yeah. How you doing? The arresting detective was able to... After failing to talk his way out of the situation, Rhodes was arrested and later charged with aggravated assault, sexual assault, and unlawful imprisonment. After further investigation, the arresting detective was able to make a connection to the Houston case and noticed a pattern stretching over the course of the last 5 months. In executing a search warrant on Rhodes' home, police found photos of a nude teenager who was later identified as Walters, whose body was found in September of 1990. Also present were photos of another female, Walsh, who...
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
His body was discovered in October. Rhodes had equipped the cab of his truck as a type of dungeon with handcuffs on the ceiling that he used to hold his victims. Although he was eventually convicted of 3 murders, officials believe he's responsible for many more. He allegedly carried a briefcase, because he's professional that way, of torture items with him on the road.
I wonder if it was engraved.
Well, yeah.
I wonder if it was one of those aluminum bonds.
RBR.
Those are sweet.
Mm-hmm.
You only carry money in those, though, really.
Yeah, that's true.
Several surviving victims would eventually come forward. One in Texas told investigators that she'd been tortured and whipped by Rhodes, and that he told her he was known as Whips and Chains involved in such activity for years.
We talked about this before. He would pick on, it's like all these serial killers, they pick on people who are outcasts.
Because they are
hitchhikers,
outcasts.
You know, prostitutes. Although, you know, I don't consider prostitutes outcasts, but...
Yeah, I know. They're your best friends.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. I'm just saying, you know, I like a big tent.
That's why you need mammoth erections.
So,
please continue, Ben.
Houston police found another woman who had managed to escape from Rhodes. She told a similar story of torture. FBI agents called into the case, searched his Houston apartment, and found torture devices. And more photos of a teenage girl handcuffed and shackled at a barn.
Yeah, so, you know, if you're going to rape and torture people and kill people, don't keep photographs.
Well, here's the other thing. I mean, he basically did a photo shoot with this poor little girl because there seemed to be pictures of her all over Hell's Half Acre.
You know what's interesting about when he got pulled over there is...
Wasn't me.
The officer doesn't know what to do.
Where she came from.
He's like, what the hell do I do with this guy? Because he's just acting like... He tells the guy, hey, I got a gun, you know.
Yeah, he was...
You need it.
He tells the cop and he has
The cop, he's got a gun. Then the girl's screaming. The cop don't know what the hell to do. He don't know what's going on. So he kind of plays it by the book. And he handcuffs Rhodes.
Which he
throws him in the back. Yeah, throws him in the back of the patrol car. But Rhodes then does one of those... An officer realized he forgot to take his gun from him after he handcuffed him.
Because
there's so much going on with
you don't know what he found. He found this woman. It's a...
Women yapping.
His woman is all, you know, tied up.
Yeah.
And he don't know what's going on.
He forgot to take his gun from him.
Yeah. So anyway...
But he had him handcuffed.
He had him handcuffed, but he did the trick that you slide your hands up under your knees... Got his hands in front of him, opened up the car door, and just started to walk away. Now, luckily, at this time, backup got there and arrested him.
Had told us this guy going, I don't know.
A cop could have easily been killed.
So they grab his... Yeah, could have been killed. So they grab his truck, grab everything in the truck, and they start to talk to the girl. And it's Nick Katie. She's 27 years old, and she didn't... You know, she's just a mess by this time.
I imagine.
But they didn't really think that he said that she got off on it. That's what he's telling the police.
She said.
Yeah.
He was saying that
Detective Barnhart, he's another policeman here. He's looking, and she got pierced nipples and a pierced labia, and she's still bleeding from them. Yeah, he ain't putting he didn't put no Aquaphor, alcohol,
mercurial
chrome, or nothing on the bits, and so.
So he's basically saying, oh yeah, she's asking for it.
She loves this stuff.
Yeah.
Then he gets into the briefcase. Now the briefcase is what we call the Devil Starter Kit. Inside, when they open it up, it's got alligator clips,
much like you will find around Brandy's office.
Yeah, no, that's what I said. The devil started again.
Yeah, yeah.
Alligator clips, leashes, handcuffs, whips, pins, and dildos. So, and the one thing you have to say about the guy, he took good care of his equipment.
Well, that's good.
I mean, it wasn't like everything was placed neatly. It was clean. He had a video camera.
Those things were expensive.
And he's telling the guy that this detective, well, this woman ain't playing with a full deck. You know, she's a lot lizard. And if you know what a lot lizard is.
Yeah, a lot lizard is a prostitute that hangs out at truck stops.
Yeah.
In the lot.
So Barnhart, you know, he sees that Rhodes is trying to act a little chummy with him. And he said, you don't get involved with the women in truck stops unless you want your junk to fall off.
Yeah.
And you know that, being the third world countries and whatnot, and having the encounters that you might have had.
Are you really? Are you going to get indignant over there?
I know. Timmy going to get all like, oh, no.
Not saying a word.
So anyway, they interview him, and they're just trying to figure out what in the hell. He acted like he had just happened upon a bunch of bad luck giving this woman a ride.
Yeah. I mean, trying to be a good guy.
Yeah, trying to be a good citizen.
Put her in, lock her up, put a ball gag in her mouth, and giving her a ride.
I know, and everybody gets
safety first.
Everybody gets all weird about it. She was fastened in.
Exactly. He's probably concerned that, you know, that there was, you know, that she wasn't...
She was going to fall.
There probably wasn't seatbelt requirements back in the day, so... You know, he was being extra cautious, maybe.
Well, and had they not had a live screaming victim, he might have talked his way out of it. So they're booking for aggravation.
Those live screaming victims, old man, they'll do you in every time.
Well, you know, and this is back
just
before.
Just be testifying.
You know, and that's it. Because right now, all Renee got to do is call the police and say, oh, you hit me, and I'm going to jail. This
is that
bitch,
all it takes?
Well, how would she say that again? I just want her to hear it.
Oh, he hit me.
Yeah.
That's how she got the, you know, she got the high pitched voice, Timmy.
She doesn't at all, but okay.
She got a little briefcase of her own. I don't know.
I bet she does. You best be careful.
Anyway, they get to a point where they just can't, the victim doesn't want to testify.
Yeah, you can't really blame him after going through that hell. You just want to get out of there.
Yeah, and so finally they couldn't detain him. They had to let him go. Now, only later did she say that the man they stopped had been her attacker and, you know, all this, but it never went anywhere because the victim, she was just too squirrely.
Really? Are we blaming the victim?
Well, one of them had dyslexia. So that kills your credibility in court.
Yeah.
Just kills your credibility. But no, both of these, I mean,
and their child care options.
When you have when you have women who are prostitutes working the truck stops, they typically have other problems.
Sure.
That have led them there.
Yeah.
A lot of times,
Randy,
it's mental health problems. And then with the mental health problems come the drug problems.
It's Dr. Phil over here.
So they're not, right. And they're especially vulnerable.
Did you write all that down for him?
No.
Oh, my God.
No, I'm just flying off the
cuff. Going off book is just ridiculous.
So anyway.
I'm learning a lot. I don't know about you.
Oh, well.
And this is something interesting because sexual sadists are the most dangerous.
Are we getting to the interesting part? Okay.
Of all the predators, sexual sadists, did you know that they're the most dangerous?
Yeah, I know. I know.
Because their cooling off period is far shorter. People who kill and get off on just the killing part of it, they have a cooling off period that'll last a much longer time.
Right.
But guys like Ted Bundy, who was a sexual sadist, they will often, they often have to do it in these like mass, you know, like he did in Tallahassee. Was that Tallahassee that Ted Bundy did it in? So anyway,
you don't know what you were saying, do you?
No, you were talking about.
Yeah,
God knows what you were talking about.
We were talking about how he.
Oh. He had a little. He had his own little rape kit and. So now the detectives, they know something shady with this guy.
Yeah.
They want to search his apartment, and sexual sadists, also one of the things they do is keep journals and photos because they like to relive them.
You know a lot.
I do know a lot because I have studied these to keep myself up to date in case I happen to run across one.
Well, and, you know, it helps when you're at the meetings with them.
Yeah.
You guys have meetings?
They do. Yeah.
So they finally get a thing. They go over to find out, look into his apartment.
There you go. It's not going well now, I bet.
No. But they don't have a search warrant. They don't have a search warrant. Now, they talk to the apartment manager, and she's a nosy woman, and she's like, yeah, he's got some handcuffs in there. He's got those bondage magazines, women's clothes everywhere. So now the guy's just got to get a search warrant.
Right.
He's just got to get a... he knows that the guy's got some secrets in there. But Lee had to... Now, this is Detective Lee who's on the case now. He had to get a behavioral sciences expert from FBI headquarters in Quantico, Virginia, to explain to the judge the reasons he needed a search warrant. Now, they finally got one. And on April 6th, agents swarmed into Rhodes' apartment while other agents tracked down his wife. Now, the agents found all of this bondage material, women's clothes, makeup, a bunch of white towels. And if you're going to be a sexual sadist, I guess you need a bunch of white towels.
Well, at least Andy used Kleenexes.
But for some reason, Rhodes liked, and one of them which was saturated with blood. But anyway, Rhodes liked white towels.
Well, that's probably incriminating.
Sounds like your place. Sounds like your place.
I don't like white towels. We don't have a lot of white towels. When you have three boys, you don't have a lot of white towels.
So that's the difference is the white towels?
Yeah.
All right. Excellent. Yeah,
well, and I don't have any... I guess I do got some alligator clams, but I use those for different things. Those are for, you know, woodworking and whatnot.
Sure they are, yeah.
But, And here's one of the interesting things. Both kidnapped victims, even though they were sketchy and iffy, they... said they had a white towel under him before they started the sexual torture. So it was kind of a ritual with them to put this white towel under
him. As well, shaving
Shaving the head, the women parts. Yeah, and you know, this is back before...
Maybe that's why he had the towel.
This is back before women were shaving their women right. parts.
That's a '70s Bush.
Yeah, he had to get a weed whacker. So anyway, yeah, it wasn't all that easy. I guess I don't know. Never could figure that out.
But so he was doing Brazilian wax before it was cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he was doing it with candle wax.
Yeah.
And duct tape. Ooh, that would hurt. That would be a terrible torture to just remove the hair off of somebody's body.
Write that down.
Yeah, let's put that down.
No, I'm not.
Devil already got that on the list over there. Never mind. So anyway, now where are we at? The agents got set. Photographs. Many of a teenager with very short hair engaged in various stages of undress and always shackled and handcuffed. She had to have been with him some time, Lee realized, because some of the photos revealed old bruises near her breast where they were healing up, and shaved pubic hair in various stages of regrowth. Now, in some photos, she had a vacant stare, while in others, she looked tearful and scared. Now, these photos are really what bothered Lee. He identified with this girl a little bit.
Because he was vacant?
Yeah, but the problem is, broadcasting this picture will violate the girl's rights. So he could not just say, hey, you know, come forward. They found a victim.
But they didn't know where she was.
But they didn't know who she was.
Or where she was.
So it was nearly a year after the search of his apartment when Lee heard Special Agent Mark Young talking about a homicide in rural Illinois. The victim had been found in a barn loft, and a farmer decided to take one last look through the decaying wooden structure before having it burned.
Yeah, so really lucky. They was going to burn the barn down.
They were going to burn the barn. There was going to be a real burn barn in there. Yeah.
And they look at it, and they find the remains of this Regina Walters.
Yeah, Regina Walters. She was 14. She'd been taken with Ricky Lee Jones. And that's why Ricky Lee Jones, people don't know. Ricky Jones, when you say one-hit wonders, you know, you think Ricky Lee Jones, Chucky's in love. Well, it's because Ricky Lee Jones got killed by the Ted Rhodes guy. But anyway, finally, and one of the problems with this too, Timmy, was that, and you say I say Timmy because you're not paying a damn bit of attention.
I am paying. I'm listening to every friggin' word you're saying.
And you know what? I might as well talk to Nicole. She pay more
Please
attention.
Continue. She's anyway. Not. Please continue because I'm paying attention.
Okay. One of the problems was the FBI really wasn't involved in this. Because when you're a trucker, and this is how he got by with this, is he was a trucker. He was doing this across all 50 states.
Mm-hmm. So he had all local authorities on these investigations.
Yeah, but anyway, so
there
they
wasn't no connection between them.
They go in there, they find a desiccated body. Now,
what?
Desiccated. Chopped up, you know. And it's Regina Walters. And anyway, one of the weird things is her pubic hair had been shaved prior to death. That was a signature aspect of this killer.
Yeah. And in a lot of ways, the guys got out, I mean, they got off easy.
They got killed right away.
They got killed right away. And then these poor girls were tortured for weeks or months.
Yeah, and when you have these kind of killers, a lot of them, it'll take them a little while to perfect their M.O., and that's kind of their signature. And for him, the signature was shaving the heads and shaving the girly parts. Mm-hmm. Why are you staring at me like that?
I'm paying attention.
I'm a little uncomfortable with you staring like at me like that. So anyway, the law enforcement folks in Illinois thought that the best suspect was the boyfriend, 18-year-old Ricky Lee Jones. But based on profiling experience, Timmy, the devil won't quit bothering me.
Please, like, continue.
I'm not doing anything.
So, they thought Ricky Lee Jones might have been the killer because he was a kinky little bastard, too.
No, they thought he was the killer because he was nowhere to be found.
No, but when they talked to his friends, he was a strange little kinky man. And he was nowhere to be found. Well, he wasn't anywhere to be found because he was dead.
Right, they didn't know that. But,
yeah. He was charged in absentia. But obviously not found guilty. So it's not until 1992.
Son of a bitch.
Not only gets murdered, but he gets charged for killing himself.
Gets charged with his own murder.
Yeah, I get charged with it.
Yeah, poor guy.
So anyway, this is a very. It's hard to follow this whole thing because local police are involved, the FBI is involved.
Yeah, and he's doing this all across the country.
He's doing it all across the country. The witnesses don't want to testify.
Mm-hmm. And he's picking on the most vulnerable.
And he's picking on the craziest and most vulnerable, and I shouldn't say craziest, the least credible. I mean, think about it. You got a woman chained up into your in your van. You got free candy on the side. Woman chained up to it. Police pull you over and you walk out of there. I mean, because that's what he did.
Not me.
He walked out.
Wasn't me.
Yeah. What? I don't know what you're talking about. This guy. He's like Donald Trump. He's like, what the hell are you talking about? This guy, I don't know what you mean. So anyway, so it wasn't really until 1992 that the Bond County, Illinois state attorney was convinced there was enough evidence against Rose. So they show all the evidence against him to his court-appointed attorneys. They arrest him. They charge him. And he decides he wants to take a plea deal to escape the death penalty.
Right. So now he's going to talk.
Yeah. Yeah. Once Rose became convinced that the case against him was solid, he pled guilty to the killing of Regina Walters and received a life sentence without the possibility of ever being on the road. That's all he wants. On the road again.
Yeah.
Did they take his driver's license?
Just can't wait to be on the road again. Yeah. Life I love is chin and women in my truck.
Right.
Yeah.
I wonder if he was ever part of a convoy.
I bet he had a CB handle was whips and chains.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they found all kinds of skeletons on his body.
No, I think that's
body.
True. I'm not thinking
one eye. I figured it'd be one eye.
Yeah.
They know that he got the life sentence for Regina Walters. They were sure that he killed because they went back and found his route logs.
Yeah, they
found a bunch of bodies along the way.
Yeah, they could connect him to like 50 different women, different victims.
They think he was doing it about 3 times a month. Pretty much about, hell, he was working more than you do, devil. 3 times a month at least. But anyway.
Really, Pop?
When he was caught, he said he'd been doing it for about 15 years. So that puts the onset of the murders back into the 70s. And his trucking logs put him in an area of about 50 unsolved murders in three years prior. Now, not all of these 50 cases have been tied to Rhodes, but while Rhodes admitted to only 3, the FBI really believes at his peak he was killing 1 to 3 a month.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he was convicted and sentenced in Arizona on aggravated assault, sexual assault, and unlawful imprisonment charges stemming from the original case of a woman in his truck. They brought that one back. And he was convicted of course, the first-degree murder. Then he was extradited to Utah to be tried for the deaths of Candace Walsh and Doug the Russian guy.
The Russian guy?
Yeah. For some reason, per the victim's family's request, they wanted to drop the charges.
Yeah, they didn't want to go through
the prison.
He wasn't. They pretty much told him that he'll never get out. So they didn't want to go
through a trial. They didn't want to hear all the gory details. And
I wouldn't.
And there's a lesson to be learned here.
What is that lesson?
Don't pull over and turn on your hazards.
Nicole, you've been over there paying attention, right? You've been listening to me at all in this?
Sure.
Huh?
Sure.
Okay, what is the lesson learned here?
You don't hitchhike.
That's a good
you
lesson.
Don't get in a truck with a stranger.
Especially one who has a torture chamber in the back of his truck.
Yeah. But, well, of course, you don't really know that till you get in.
Right. That's how they get you.
It is. Because you think they're hauling, like, you
produce.
Know. Yeah. Or
I
like,
think they got some asparagus or something back there. And
yeah. Or the milk trucks. I like the milk trucks.
Well, they're refrigerated. You don't want to get in there. They're cold.
And
I know. How'd you like to be chained waist deep in milk?
Make your nipples hard.
Yeah.
Well,
you'd be cold in the sun, bitch.
You know that the milk is in the containers. That they're not just, it's not just free-flowing milk in there.
I didn't know that.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Dream crusher.
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
Could be a chicken
so
truck.
So you're not waist-deep in milk.
Could be a chicken truck.
Well, that, those are
chicken
open.
Truck.
Those are open.
Okay, Colonel, do we have anything else on Robert Ben Rhodes' old whip and chains?
He's just what strikes me is Timmy is he was so damn ugly.
He is ugly, and there's
we're gonna post
one picture of him with he's got like an eye problem going on where he squints. But there's also a photo out of
from
him
sticking fish hooks in things. He had to squint.
Well, there's also a photo on the internet of him in his BDSM attire.
Nice.
And you know he looks like He looks like a nice young little Nazi is what he looks like. And I'm like, oh, sign me up to the SS in the dance squad.
Well, I mean, he's got the chains. He's got, I mean, he's got, he's got it all going on.
You know what?
You can check him out.
Go balls out or go home. That's what I said.
That's what he said.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think the lesson to be learned in that.
Be the same.
He needs some lederhosen.
You can't unsee that, Tim. You just can't.
I'm sorry. I'm showing Brandy his BDSM outfit. He's got some leather, looks to be leather underwear on, or maybe, and then he's got some chains, clamps, and things on him.
But he looks happy.
He does look happy. He does look happy. A smile on his face.
Well, I mean, who wouldn't be, though?
The 70 blue blocker sunglasses. I mean,
if you could come into work like that every day, that's comfortable attire.
But here's the thing. I mean, you got all that on, and all of a sudden you're like, hey, let's get a groupie.
Yeah. Well, that's
true. Picture.
He doesn't look as well right now. He's aged some.
He looks like a toad that got shot in one eye with a BB gun.
Yeah, he's got one eye. That's something's going on with one of his eyes. It's
wonky.
Yeah.
And we won't get into it here, but if you get on the internet and read about the man, what he did to his victims was just atrocious.
Yeah, and you see the pictures of him, and you know, it kind of puts things in perspective, because when we do these, you know, we always kind of make light of it, but when you go and look at it, it's kind of,
Well, yeah.
Yeah. You know, I have some kind of moral compass.
It points south all the time, though, to me.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying that. Yes, when you see the victims, it's different when you talk about them and you're just reading about them as opposed to seeing the photos, because they're really...
You know, in so many of these cases, the victims are people who went willingly into these situations. They thought they would be safe. You know what I mean? And I'm not blaming the victim, although if you're damn dumb enough to get into a guy with a dungeon.
Well, but you know, if you got 14-year-olds.
That's what we're doing?
I'm not blaming the victim, but if you're a 14-year-old, be at home playing Monopoly or something with your brothers and sisters.
There's a lot of troubled youths.
Yeah. There. You're 14 years old. You shouldn't be around truckers.
I mean, you're taking the money and run.
How many people he actually did, you know, that we'll never know about.
I know. You know,
that's sad. Okay, any final thoughts, Nicole, on Robert Ben Rhodes, better known as Old Whips and Chains?
No. None?
She has no thoughts.
No thoughts.
He remains incarcerated, thank God.
I bet he gets fan mail.
He probably does. Well, it's almost his birthday, so.
Well.
We're not going to give his address out because I don't want him to get a birthday card, because there'd be some asshole out there with sending one. Not none of our listeners, of course, but someone might.
Yeah.
Brandy, any final thoughts on Old Whip and Chains?
No.
Okay.
I do think that what we should do, Timmy, mm-hmm. is we should call up the Hustler store, order us a briefcase filled with alligator clips, leashes, handcuffs, whips, pins, and dildos.
The Brandy Special.
And call it the Brandy Special and sell it to... And you know what? Maybe give it away.
You should have your own brand of BDSM equipment.
You should.
Yeah.
I hate you guys.
All right.
No, I mean, they call her the Velcro Devil.
Yeah.
No, they don't. Nobody calls me.
Brandy, where can people find us?
They can find us on the iTunes.
We're on the iTunes.
We're on the Stitcher.
And
Facebook.
Yeah. We're on the Facebook.
Timmy's supposed to be tweeting, but he does not.
And we're on the Netflix.
No, we're not. Not yet.
We're not on the Netflix.
They're going to do a behind the music about us.
We're on the Hulu.
We're discussing right now.
They're going to do a behind the music about us.
Yeah.
Right now we're discussing an HBO special.
Yeah.
I should let...
We're not doing that at all.
Yeah.
Amy Schumer wants to come and do it with us.
I'm sure she does. She can play her.
All right.
She can play Nicole.
Yeah, she can play Nicole.
All right. So find us on iTunes. Find us on Facebook. Leave us comments. Leave us a review. We would very much appreciate it. And we'll see you all next time on History Dweebs. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Say goodbye, Colonel.
Goodbye, everybody.
Good day.
Good day.
Jesus. Why do you...
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.